everyone. Yeah, so as you can see, it's all a little bit of a different setup, as you might imagine. I've got a friend with me today, and this morning, hold on, I'm going to move back around this way so I can see your beautiful faces over there.
Don't fall off, will you?
So, well, I think...
You've seen Sue in a bush.
So this is the way that the actual next 10, 20, 30, 40, maybe 50 minutes might go, you know, this banter, the joy of picking one up. And
I haven't got that much to say.
Haven't you? So, yes, I don't know where this is going to go this morning. All I know is I've got a topic, joy over despair. Not despair over joy, joy over despair. You might be despairing by the end, but hopefully not. Hopefully it will be a time that you'll learn quite a lot. So it's going to take a bit of the form of a conversation, really, or discussion between Michelle and I about the theme of joy over despair.
Hang on. Before we get to the serious bit,
okay.
What about the game?
What game's that?
You know, the game we had planned.
Okay.
The one with, you know, the shaving foam, the balloons, Rich P, Alison run around the church like headless chickens, slipping all over the place. You know that game? Where's the game?
Do you want a game? Does everybody want a game?
Oh, I know what you've done. You've read the small print in the insurance, haven't you?
Have I?
We can't do it, can we?
Can't we?
No.
Can't we? Oh. No. But we would anyway.
But that would have been a good example about joy over despair.
It would have, wouldn't it?
Because it'd been their despair and our joy.
Yeah, that's true. Very good. Very good. I like that. So the other thing we did think of this morning, but it would have been hysterical, is to put some funny pictures up of us, which would have made you hoot for laughter. And there's one particular one that I'm thinking of, and it's actually ended up in a bridge being named after me, but we won't go there. It most probably will appear in front of the church at some point, but hopefully not today. Anyway, more of that. Anyway, so the idea came... Can I continue now?
You can.
It's
yes.
All right then.
Yeah,
all right.
Carry
then.
On.
So the idea came from the Dare to Be conversations between a lady called Charlotte Gamble, who's a pastor and a preacher. She preaches a lot in America. And Natalie Grant, who's a Christian artist and songwriter. And these two friends just have conversations about topics, okay, real-life topics, and they share funny stories, things they've done, and some of them are a hoot, an absolute hoot, but they're really real. But what they then do is they apply God's word, his truth, and his life to those situations, scriptures, and they really make you feel really built up once you listen to them, because they apply God to these situations. And they speak life into areas. And I think, Rich, your prophetic word at the beginning of the year about speaking life has really stayed with me. It was really prophetic. And I just really want to encourage you, because that's such an important part for us as a church this year. And everything we do and say should line up with that word. And this morning, we're going to share some testimonies and examples that, but it's not about us. Yes, there are examples, but it's about God. And it's about what we want to do is through those examples share how God has been faithful to us and to speak life into your lives as well. So, so please say it's not about us at all. The other thing I want to share today will build really on the link and the foundational word that Nikki brought a couple of weeks ago, the introduction, and then faith over fear. So it should all fit in with many of the words that she brought that week, but also the Unplugged week last week. There were many words there that hopefully this will link into and build upon. At the beginning of the year, when Nikki sort of set out the programme and I had a look through, and I just felt this inkling that God wanted me to share something. And I thought, right, God, yeah, I'll do that. God, you said it was going to be a year of venture, so this is where I'm at, so I'll go for it. So I read through the topic, bypass joy over despair, and read to the end. And I had that, God, you want me to speak on that one, don't you? I didn't want to speak on that one. But that's the way that God works. And I tell you why I didn't want to speak on it, because it's something I battle with. I battle with it on a daily basis to bring that joy over despair. And often because of the pressures of work, and we'll go into that. But that's the way that God works, isn't he? He takes the things that we're weak on sometimes and challenges us and helps us to work through them, because he wants us to develop our character. So that's where we are today. So it's a bit of a risk we're taking. We're not quite sure where we're going to end up, like I say. I'm not quite sure what Michelle's going to throw in every now and again. But
I don't know either.
But that's why it's going to be a bit of fun. And I hope you'll bear with us as we just work through this. And I had a conversation with Michelle, I think we were out walking the dogs, right at the beginning of January, shared some of my thoughts about how we could present it if she was up for it. Now, she may be thinking, no, actually, I don't want to be doing this, but she's here and I'm really blessed by it that she's here sharing as well, because I know she's got some really good testimonies to go with us. So we're taking a risk, but we're being obedient. So I know God was going to bless
you. But note to self, whenever you come up with ideas on a dog walk, just park it for a long time and then revisit it.
So we have got a bit of a format. Whether it's going to work that way or not, I don't know, but here we go. So we're going to start off by talking about what is despair. Then we're going to move on to talk about what is joy. And then how do we move from despair to joy, or not as joy to despair, as I wrote at the beginning when I started first writing this. And then the impact of a joy-filled life. Oh, dear.
Okay. I'm missing your words.
You're missing your words? Okay, all right then. So here we go. Like I say, I'm not quite sure where this is going to go, but we've got a bit of a format. And if you want to throw in any banter on the way, that's absolutely fine by us. So what's the definition of despair? We're just not talking about being unhappy or sad. It's so much more. The dictionary definition says it is the complete loss or absence of hope, or to lose or be without hope. Or the one I really like is the feeling that there is no hope and that you cannot do anything to improve a difficult or worrying situation. That's the one that really sticks with me. I can't do anything. I'm out of hope. And despair will make you feel really heavy in your emotions. You're most probably at your wit's end. Usually joy and peace are very linked. And if you haven't got joy, you'll lose your peace as well. And you're not able to process things. Now, I know you like processing things, don't you?
I do. Yeah, I like to mull things over. I like to just withdraw from a situation, mull it all over, pray about it, sing worship songs, and then I'll kind of, you know, get there in the end.
Yeah. And I think processing often, I don't know if it's a female thing, but if I've got a problem, I'll just go and like I say, and mull it through and see if I can find a way through. And I think despair comes when you think through everything and you can't think of a solution. Even if you turn to God, you just don't get what the answer is to it. Nothing. And I think that's when despair can really, really set in. And we need to acknowledge it's a really real thing. It's a thing that we all feel. And I'm glad Dave said what he did. It's those sometimes you get those valleys where you really do feel really low. And it could be from a position of health, loss, grief, finances, relationships, work, family. And we don't make light of these situations. So this morning, we're not making light of any issues or things, the difficulties that maybe many people are going through. We recognise them. But what we want to do is speak life into them to say, is there a way? There is a way through. There is a way you can find God's joy, even through those valleys. And one of the things I learnt quite a while ago now is that never to judge how a person responds, because you never know what's going on in their lives. People need to be handled with care. We're all quite fragile, really. And some of us may put on a hard exterior and not open up and really share what's going on for us. But underneath, there could be a huge turmoil that's going on. And we never should judge where other people are at. But it's really good sometimes to open up to people we trust.
Classic examples of that, Sue, is in your workplace.
Yeah.
When everyone's kind of like doing their day-to-day job, and I sometimes sit at my desk and I watch people come in and out the office, and moments. God will give me a situation where I can just start chatting to somebody. And, and it can start with, how are you? You're not looking quite yourself today, you know. And then you can start to unpack it. And God has given me numerous opportunities where I've been able to speak into somebody's life just by a simple, hi, how are you? But not just taking, yes, I'm fine, thank you, at face value. Mm.
Yeah, very important. I think it's really important that we recognise where people are at sometimes and give them the space to open up if they want to, and if they don't, we just say, okay, thinking of you or whatever that is. And I think that sometimes leads to other conversations. And then we read in the Psalms, don't we? David really poured his heart out to God. In Psalm 42, it says, why are you downcast, all my soul? David was really honest with God. He told him exactly where he was. But I suppose the other thing with David, he always comes back to praising God in the end, and we'll come on to that. So just to share some of the moments of despair that I've felt, some of them, and I think as I was preparing this, and I think the same as you, Michelle, you said to me, sometimes it's easier to think of despair than it is of joy moments, but that's sometimes how our thought patterns go. So one of the things that really saps my joy on a daily basis is my work. Many of you know I work for Gloucestershire County Council. I'm a finance manager, and I support the directorates of children's services and also public health. Now, if you think back over the last 2 years, public health has been right at the front of all the struggles in terms of dealing with the pandemic, but also children's services, as well as the impact on education, social care, and some of the underlying things that have been going on in children's services. And so it's a really, really pressurised work situation. And a lot of that is because I'm the person that's dealing with the numbers, and the numbers don't work at the moment because...
They never work, Sue.
Well, as an accountant, I must say they sometimes do. But but when I'm sort of bringing, I'm often known as, oh, here she comes, she's bringing the message of doom, and it is because I'm sometimes, not sometimes, am at the moment saying, right, we're overspent by 19 million on social care. We've got a high needs education. If some of that might, you understand, that special needs for children. Our deficit in total is 19 million. So overall, we're nearly 40 million overspent, okay? That's not an easy message to get across. And it sits with me because that does not feel good. It's not a good message because you're not bringing good news. You're bringing negative news. And it's really tough, and I find it tough, and I do hold it. And it drains me at times. And it's really difficult to bring... that, because I'm generally at work, I'm a joyful person. I like to have a bit of a laugh. I like to bring good news, but I can't do that, and it's tough. I find it really, really tough.
Right, so I'm going to talk about a different kind of feeling of despair, and it's part of my life journey, and it happened a very long time ago. And I just want to just reiterate what Sue said right at the very beginning. Whatever we share today, it's not because I'm trying to say my issue is bigger than yours, or, you know, this is how you should work through your despair, but this is just relative to me. This is stuff that I've gone through and how I've come out of the other end. So quite a while ago, I went through a marriage breakup, not an easy situation to go through. And I can honestly say I thought I was going to die at certain points of that period of time in my life. It was absolutely traumatic. And there were days when I couldn't get out of bed because I couldn't face the day. It was a hard, hard time in my life. And so that's the, you know, that's, if you talk about despair, that's what I think about as a moment of despair in my life.
Mm, absolutely. And I think those are really, it's really tough times. And I think one of the things I mentioned about children's services, but the whole issue of mental health at the moment. And I don't know if you knew, on Thursday last week, it was called a National Time to Talk Day, okay? And across employment agencies, people were being encouraged to pick up the phone and connect with a colleague and encourage them. And I don't think I realised until after the event, but I read about it, I think, on Friday, to be honest. But there we go. But it was a time where, nationally, I think, people are beginning to recognise the importance of mental health in people's lives. And I'm so pleased that Helen and the group are doing the Kintsugi Hope, because that is dealing with mental health. It's dealing with people's well-being, because there is so much mental health issues out there. I mean, I think if you didn't go through the last 2 years and not struggle with your mental health in some way or form, I think you've done incredibly well. I think at times it did push us right to the end in various different ways, in various different times. And for me, I think most probably 2021 was worse than 2020. I think it was much tougher. But I think the whole thing about mental health now is seen as a really, it's not a stigma anymore if you've got a mental health problem. It's something that everybody has to some degree, and we all need to encourage one another to come out of it. People are really in despair. There are people out there because their mental health is not good.
Absolutely, Sue. I agree with you. And I can agree with Sue on that particular year when we were going through the first major lockdown. Another example of feeling despair was that part of my family were living in Cheltenham and we couldn't visit. They couldn't visit. We were all locked down at homes. And Luke was going through a particularly difficult time. And there was a moment where he was crying down the phone to me on the phone. And I remember feeling such, you know, it felt really traumatic and I felt despair. And all I wanted to do was go up to Cheltenham, scoop him up, scoop the whole family up and bring them home so that we could support them. But we couldn't do that, you know. And so we had to put other things in place in order to get the support that they needed at that particular time. But it was just those moments of conversations that, you know, like you said about talking, it was so important that Luke opened up to us in order for us to put things in place for them.
And I think despair sometimes is harder to see in the ones we love than it is with our own, because it's...
Oh, it's worse when it's your kids.
Yeah.
Absolutely worse
sure
when
many
it's
of
your
you
kids.
I agree with that. And I suppose the final example that I just wanted to share was, do you know, sometimes we remember years because of great celebrations and we remember, yeah, that was a really good year. And then we remember other years because of heartbreak and really difficulties. And for me, if I look back over my many years, I suppose 2012 was the year I'll always at the moment say was my worst year, my heartbreak year. And it was not only experience sort of leaving a church I'd been in since my student days, and battling with social services over the fostering work that Ed and I were doing. But it was because I lost my mum on the 16th of January, which wasn't totally unexpected, but obviously is traumatic when you go through it. But the bit for me which really floored me was that at that time my auntie was really unwell, although she didn't know it and none of us knew it. And 4 months later, we were at a funeral for my auntie. It completely floored me. I can remember coming out of that service and just couldn't believe what had happened. I'd lost two of the closest female relatives to me in a matter of 4 months. Just couldn't handle it. I looked at my cousins who just lost their mum and we just looked at each other in disbelief to say, has this really happened? It was like it wasn't real. And I can just remember feeling that year was pretty low. It's most probably the lowest point in my time, but I felt real despair at that point in time. But that, so these are moments of despair that we all have in different forms, different ways, and but God is there for us. And now I just want to turn over to the joy side. So what is joy? Okay, it's not just being happy. And it's interesting, when I looked it up, the dictionaries point to the biblical definition of joy, okay? And this is what it says. It's a feeling of good pleasure and happiness that is dependent on who Jesus is rather than on who we are or what is happening around us. I think that's great. So joy comes from the Holy Spirit, knowing who Jesus was and abiding in God's presence and from hope in his word. Happiness is often dependent on circumstances. So when circumstances change, our attitude and mood often changes as well. So I know when I keep when I'm moving from feeling in a really good place to moving into that place of where I'm grumpy, impatient, intolerant, and stressed. Many of you may not know that I get there, but Ed clearly does, and some of my good friends must probably do as well. But I do, and it's usually a sign that I've really lost my underlying sense of joy. And another definition of joy, which I really like, is joy is a deep-rooted sense of contentment, even when things are falling apart.
So I know it's not quite the same, but seeing you fall on that bridge did give us immense joy.
I think it wasn't just I fell off the bridge, but...
into the bush.
Into the bush and just stayed there laughing. So I think it was, yeah, but... So I do give people a lot of joy, and we'll come on to that a bit later on. so we can't get joy in our own strength. You can be happy, but actually true joy comes from the Holy Spirit. And it says in Isaiah 61, verses 1 to 3, "The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favour and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn and to provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. They'll be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the God, for the display of his splendor." So that's our calling, really, is to speak life. And it's the word that Rich brought, really, and to know God's joy and usually peace that comes with that, whatever the circumstances. And it's those Holy Spirit moments that really bring joy. And I just want to share a few of those. It's that moments where your spirit connects with the Holy Spirit and you feel that real sense of joy that I think I'm really, that's what the joy is. And sometimes, and laughing and having a great time, you do feel joy, but it's those Holy Spirit moments. So I'll share one first of all. And most probably the first one I'd like to start off with is when I became a Christian. That happened back in 1984, Dave, just after 85, which you mentioned, 1984. I was a student at that time, and I went to a Billy Graham rally happened at Ashton Gate in Bristol. And I've really been seeking God, I suppose, for a long, long time. Nearly didn't get there because the bus I was supposed to catch didn't turn up. But my friend, who was desperate to get me there, got me there by car. And I gave my life to God that night. And I don't think I stopped smiling for months, you know. I felt God's joy. It was like everything had dropped into place for me. And I just felt that joy of the Lord.
Yeah, so... mine was just over 5 years ago now. It's not the only Holy Spirit moment I've had. I will add that, but it's one of the Holy Spirit moments I've had. As a lot of you know, and you've heard this story before, Luke and Samantha, Luke is my second one, he's married to Samantha. They were pastoring a church in Wales, and they had been trying for a baby, but nothing happened. And they tried for a baby for 5 years. And Pete and I went over to visit them. It was just an ad hoc visit. We just happened to land in their lounge one afternoon. And they decided they would tell us about them not being able to conceive a baby. And Samantha used to knit blankets for all the other expectant mums. And I sat there thinking about what she did for all the expectant mums that she knew. No, and then I realised, oh my goodness, you know you're having trouble conceiving a child and you knit these blankets for other mums. And I thought, my goodness, what an amazing lady you are, you know. So I sat there thinking and I thought, do you know what? I'm going to take a step of faith here. I don't knit, okay. But I decided I would knit a blanket in faith of Samantha and Luke having a baby. Mm. Yeah. And I told her that, and I, you know, because we do need to build each other's faith up,
yeah,
in absolutely these difficult situations. Yeah. So I told her, I said, look, Samantha, I don't knit, but I'm going to knit you a blanket because I believe God is going to give you and Luke a baby. And to cut a very long story short, which was also quite traumatic in the process, but I am now the proud grandma of a four-year-old. And, you know, she is God's gift to Luke and Samantha.
Absolutely. And sort of knowing it going through that, it was amazing, amazing testimony. I suppose other things that bring those really joy moments is just knowing God's there for me. He's always there for I can turn to him. Seeing other people born again, boy, does that give a joy in my heart. And I just long to see more people come to know his love, joy and peace. It's something my heart is really, really yearning for. And I know that's Rich's heart as well, and is really encouraging us to step out there. Doing God's will, knowing his pleasure. And I think, again, some of the moments where you step out and you know you're doing what God wants. You don't quite understand why, but you know actually when you've done it, you've done God's will, and it brings you a pleasure. I can remember some youth weekends away, most probably the Moses weekend, if somebody must probably remember. It's just a weekend. We had two amazing days away with the youth, and spoken to many lives, and had a lot of fun as well over that weekend. But just knew God's love, and I knew God was with me, and that joy that I came away and thinking, God, you were completely in control that weekend. So yes, that's his pleasure. Revelation from his word, when suddenly the word jumps out of you and you just feel God is speaking to you through the word, that's great. And I suppose the final thing to say is seeing people break free from the chains that are holding them. See them come into what God wants them, their potential. It's great to see that. I feel a joy when you see people so completely maybe surrender to their will and find that joy in God that they've not experienced, where they've been held down and they suddenly come free. It's like, I suppose the picture I've got is when we take Murphy out for a walk and we suddenly let him off and he just runs for joy. And it's like that when you see a person that breaking free from the chains that have held them, to see them almost their spirit run, it just brings me a lot of joy. I don't know if you've got any other examples to share.
I think to help me sort of get into that place of joy, I know Sue is a woman of the word, absolutely. You know, she speaks life into my situations quite often. For me, it has to be worship. Mm. As I said at the beginning, you know, one of my despair moments was going through my divorce. I couldn't have got through that period of time without worship and my relationship with God, as well as, you know, my good Christian friends around me. I just wouldn't have got through that situation at all. And I remember being in BCC and feeling completely and utterly at a loss, complete in despair, and singing the song that we sung today, Great is the Lord. And I remember standing there with tears streaming down my face. I could hardly sing. And I was singing this song, and I'm just going to grab the words, because it says, we lift your name on high, and we want to thank you for the works you've done in our lives. And I remember singing that song and I'm thinking, why am I singing this song? Because I'm not there yet. You know, I'm really not there. But I sung it, and I remember singing that song and claiming it because I knew God was going to bring me through. So worship is important to me. Whatever situation I'm in, I will sing. I don't often get a lot of quiet alone times in our house because it's a very busy household. But when I do, I crack up my worship music and I just tap into what God is saying to me. At the moment, I get the joy of doing some school runs with little Miss Lexi. And our favourite song at the moment is Good God Almighty. So, you know, we're singing that on the way to school, you know, because it is just about, you know, God bringing us through our difficult situations, but he is good God Almighty.
Yeah, and I think that's a great example, Michelle, of how we move from despair to joy, really, isn't it? It's worship. And it is great. I love worship, and it was great time of worship this morning, thanks to the band, because I think we really just really entered into his presence, and that's where we need to get to find God's joy in his presence. Whatever's going on, you can lose it in worship. You can completely lose it in worship. And it says in Galatians that the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And that's where you find is through the Holy Spirit. And I connect with the Holy Spirit often through worship, often, and I believe that's where we can find his presence, and we can find that joy that we need to find, even in the midst of the valleys that we're going through and the circumstances. The circumstances don't go away, but we can walk through it with God, and find it. And worship is a great area to do that. And I know I need to spend time in his presence with the Holy Spirit if I'm gonna surrender to his will. And one of my favourite verses is, "Be still and know that I am God," Psalm 46:10. Sometimes I just have to stop. My mind's always worrying. One of the things I think about doing video calls is you're usually multitasking, or I am. You're actually trying to listen to what's going on the call, but actually try and do some other work at the same time. So your head is completely worrying, and most probably that's why I end up exhausted at the end of the day, because you're trying to do two things at once. Now, as women, we know we can do at least two things, but it's very tiring sometimes. But I know sometimes I just have to be still and stop, and that's when God will speak to me. And that's really, really important. And one of the things, I don't know if you read the UCB notes on Wednesday, and it just jumped out at me. I thought, this is lovely. It says, just come as you are and let his presence rub off on you. That's beautiful. Let his presence rub off on you. And if you don't feel his presence, just come as you are and just sit before God, and his presence will rub off on you. It's just a lovely saying, and I really speak to that. And the other thing I've been listening to this week is that song that you recommended, Nikki, Gratitude, by Brandon Lake. Just a great song of, he just comes as he is and just lays down what he's got. He hasn't got much, but he lays it down before God and he gets into his presence. And Nikki, you mentioned some of the key disciplines and that we need to develop to draw closer to God last week. And it's funny how, it's not funny, it's these talks, I think, will build one on the other. And it's a really clever program that you've come up with. And some of the key disciplines were getting into his word, worship, and prayer. Michelle's already explained about the importance of worship, and it's great. Worship is so, so important. But as I was thinking about these things, sometimes we have to make a choice, okay? Sometimes there's things that we need to stop and things that we need to start to get into that place of joy, okay? And a few years ago, I keep mentioning your name, Nikki, because I think you are a great input into my life, so a real commendation for you. But you gave me a print which read, "Today I choose joy." And I've got it placed by the mirror, so I look at it every day. It's getting a bit faded now, but it's still there. And it's great because it reminds me of what I need to do, the battle that I am in. I need to make a choice to be joyful. And we have one thing we all can do is we can choose the response that we have to everything that's thrown at us. We can't change maybe circumstances, but we can choose our response. That's our responsibility to do. And some of the things we can do, we can ask for forgiveness or ask God to forgive us or others. Because sometimes we need to release that burden to get that joy. Sometimes we just need to let go of things and give them to God. Because sometimes we hold on to things and actually we should just let them go. And what's that song, Michelle, that used to sing to me?
Let it go, let it go. So if you noticed about Sue's talk here this morning, who the most spiritual people are, it's Nikki and Sue. So Nikki brings her words and
that's not
beautiful
true.
Prints.
That's not
I
true.
I bring her a Disney song, Let It Go. But do know more words now, though.
Yeah,
don't
we do know more words, yeah. But let it go. I mean, it's sometimes you just have to do that. You just have to let things go because they can play on your mind, but actually nothing you can do about it. You just need to let them go. One of the things that Charlotte Gamble said in one of her talks is sometimes you need to choose to let things go, just to let them go, not dwell on them anymore because you can't do anything about them and just move on. And I think other things we need to do is conversations sometimes we need to close down, relationships that drain us we need to end, or habits as well. Things that drain us, we need to really think about whether we should keep on with those. Then there's other things we need to start. We need to give thanks and rejoice. Sometimes rejoice in the Lord always. I say again, rejoice. So there are things that we need to do. And we need to connect with this Holy Spirit and worship us. And we already talked about the worship song. But one thing I love, and God has a sense of humour. And if you don't think it, well, he works with us, so he's got to have a sense of humour, hasn't he? And I think...
Well, he asked you to put up with us, really, doesn't
yeah, that's
he?
True. And that saying, it's better to laugh or to cry. And sometimes you have that choice. Do you laugh at something you've done, or do you just cry? And I think I've taken more to laugh now than crying. But I have begun to... And I think Michelle's been great for me, because she... I can be very serious, but she's basically broken that mould, I think. And she laughs at me now, and I just
think
have
it's
to...
when Sue and I first kind of started to get to know each other at Faith Camp one year, and she wore this hat, and I just called it a Christian hat, because it was a very, you know, the ones I mean, you know, that look a bit like a short cowboy one, and I just see it. The hat went, didn't it?
Yeah, the hat went. A lot of other things have gone as well, I think. But yeah, so Michelle's really good for me. It's good when I'm feeling really serious, or I've had a stressful day, she'll send me things to laugh about, okay? And laughter is a great thing, because it is good for you. It says, where is it? I've got it here somewhere. Something about it. It's good for your bones. It's cheerful. It makes you a joyful spirit. Oh, there it is. A joyful heart brings healing to both your body and soul. And it's really important, isn't it, that we do laugh a lot. And I think... I've learned to laugh at myself as well. There's lots of things that I do now that I just have to laugh. Because if I don't laugh, other people will laugh at me anyway. So it's much better to just laugh. And Ed laughs at me all the time, just as well, isn't it?
I don't think that's just you, though. So I think, you know, it might be an age thing, you know, that we no longer take ourselves so seriously. You know,
maybe,
we probably learned a lot along the way, you know. But I think, you know... It's good to laugh at yourself and not to take things too seriously. But I think the other thing is to have good friendships around you, good Christian friendship, who speak the word into your lives. And I know that, you know, Sue, Nikki, Kim, and lots of other people, you know, that you guys do that for me. And I think that's important, that, you know, we do that for each other, that we speak words of truth into our lives.
Mm, absolutely. I think in terms of... One of the other things I suppose I think is really important is, and Michelle's just touched on it, is the sharing. You share with other people. And one of the examples is one of the disadvantages of working from home, and there are quite a number when you start thinking about it, is when I was working in the office, there were six of us on a bank of desks, okay, and we got on really, really well. And certain days, some of us would be having a really bad day. But what we found we used to do is just either laugh with that person to break that sense of tension, or to provide ways through of, you could try this, you could do that, I'll do that for you. So really were support, and it really took the edge off pressure. We used to have a lot of laughs, just the six of us around that bank of desks. We got on really well, and don't get that when you're working at home. Yes, you can pick up the phone, but it's not that same as that spontaneous banter that you have. And banter is such a good thing in the office, because it just breaks things. It gives you ideas. It's that spontaneous thing. So sharing with others is a really, really good thing, because what it does and what we all need to do is to find areas where we can find things that stop us moving down that slippery slope of getting into despair about something. And if you put in those triggers and you recognise the things that can stop it, then it will really help, and it'll keep you in a place of joy. I'm just conscious of time, and we've been doing quite a lot of talking, really, haven't we?
Yeah.
But yeah, have you got? Did you want to say something?
Only to say that we've said a lot about being in despair and coming into joy. I think the only thing I'd like to say is that I am a living testimony of. Going from despair into joy.
Mm-hmm.
And I was able to do that because of the family and friends that I have around me, you know. God doesn't leave us in despair. He does bring us through. Sometimes it can be a long journey. And I wouldn't belittle anybody's circumstances, because they're all relevant to you, to ourselves.
Absolutely.
But God will bring us through. You know, I thank God for Pete. Probably doesn't thank God for me, but you know, I do thank God for Pete. You know, because I do believe that God gave Pete to me. Mm. You know, and
Amen.
I am able now to walk in my joyful life. It's full of ups and downs. It's full of challenges. You know, but together we're able to face those.
Amen. And I think And the final thing, just to moving the impact of a joy-filled life, it really has an impact on people around us. People love to be with joyful people. You attract people to you. It's a great witness to God. And I think it's something we should all try and have. Not that false sense, but that underlying sense of joy, which means you can work through a situation and come out with a bit of a laugh, or you can see the funny side of it. One thing I have found is when you're working with social services workers is that they often laugh at maybe the wrong things because they need that sense to just break that tension that they're working with continually. And I think it's important that we have that impact. When you walk into a room, do you bring that joy with you? It says here in Nehemiah 8:10, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. It's good for us. It's good for us to have. It's the joy is our strength. So I suppose this morning, just as we finish, we want to encourage you to get into God's presence, to find his Holy Spirit, since he's the source of our joy, to find things that will help turn your moments of despair into joy. Build up your joy resources. Have those things that are going to help you stay joyful and keep them topped up. Yes, you will get those moments that are really, really tough, but always know God's with you because he will carry you through and make these disciplines part of daily life. I mean, Dave Mitchell talked to us about those daily disciplines. He was so right. We need to keep those going to prepare us for the tough times ahead. And I don't know if there's anything else you want to say before I finish. Okay. So we're going to finish with a song in a moment. And the song is called Anything Is Possible. It's quite a high beat song, but it's a great song because what it says is a song of declaration. I love songs of declaration because this is what we need to do when we're feeling maybe in despair, because it states who we are in God, the sovereignty of God, and the authority we have through him. And the refrain says this: all of my fear I will turn into praise. Shake off despair as I sing out your name. A victory dance I will dance out of faith. I will crush disappointment and break every chain. That's what the refrain is, the song is. And I'm just going to pray, and then we're going to finish and Rod will play the song. Father, I thank you for this opportunity to share what it is to move from despair into joy, Lord. And we know where people are in tough situations, Father. We just pray that they will find your Holy Spirit presence. They'll find your Holy Spirit strength to get and walk through those times, Lord, that they're going through at the moment, Lord. But they'll know that you're with them, Father, and that will bring them a joy. They'll know that you can provide a way through, even though they can't see the way through, that you will provide that joy for them, Lord. And we thank you for how faithful that you are to Michelle and myself, Father, for that joy that you've brought us, even through the low times that we've had and the struggles that we have, Lord. You have been there, and that you've led us and guide us through to the joy that you give us now, Father. And we thank you for the time this morning, Lord, and we pray for this life-giving word to be spoken into these people's lives now, in Jesus' name. Amen. There is no shadow that has ever overcome your light, and there is no rival that could ever stand against your might. You've always been with us. Every battle you've already won, we've already